Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
How do we allow the supernatural plan to go to work in your life and in my life? The only way to find release from the grip of grief is to allow God to deal with it.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
Truth seekers, welcome aboard this train. Now, this train's getting ready to pull out of the station today, and I hope that you are on board and ready, because I know that God is going to minister to you this very day. And here's how I know it, because in just a few minutes, I'm going to pray a prayer that I'm going to believe in faith that God will answer. And when we pray the prayer of faith, God lends us His ear, and He goes to action for us. And here's what my prayer is going to say. It's going to basically say, God, I can't do this. Only You can. Minister to Your people through me. And if You can't minister through me, minister in spite of me. And that's what we're going to do. Because here's what I know from personal experience. If I give You the best that I can give You, then it's going to fall woefully short. What you need is the Holy Spirit over your life, speaking truth into your life, planting seeds in your life, and seeing great fruit grow forth in your life. Let's pray right now, and then we're going to get into a continuation of a teaching series that we started just a couple of weeks ago. Heavenly Father, God, You already know what we need. Your Word tells us that You know what we need before we even know it. So, Lord, I pray right now that You would send the teacher, the one that makes teaching so easy, the one that makes preaching easy. And Lord, right now, I just pray on behalf of my brothers and sisters that are with us this day listening. God, I pray that You would anoint their ears to hear not my words, but Your words, that it would find depth in their hearts. God, anoint me to speak Your words and only Your words. And above all things, Heavenly Father, if my words are not Your words, then I am wasting Your time, God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, truth seekers, just 2 weeks ago now, I began a teaching series entitled In the Grip of Grief. In the Grip of Grief. And this teaching series God gave to me several months ago now when I was asked to come and minister to a ladies' Bible study group on the topic of dealing with grief. And as I sought the Lord for that, He unveiled this teaching series for me and for them that day and for other people than groups and support groups I've been asked to speak in front of. And my prayer is that for you, this is for you also. In the Grip of Grief, it hopefully conjures up the picture in your mind of a closed fist, tightly closed around something. And that something within that tightly clenched fist is your life being strangled by the overwhelming emotion of grief due to the loss and the death of a loved one in your life. I'm finding that there's an awful lot of folks out there dealing with this, because this doesn't end in 6 days, 6 weeks, 6 months. For many people, it doesn't end in 6 years. And as time marches on, more people are added to the group, the category of those dealing with the difficulty of grief in their life. So this is a very applicable teaching series. Very quickly, I want to review over where we've been for 2 weeks now, because today's teaching piggybacks especially on what we ended on last week, In the Grip of Grief. The first week we talked about, number one, this was more of an encouragement to you, I hope, than anything else. But number one, we have to come to a place when we're drowning in our grief that we are able to identify the pain and the trouble and the heartache. It's okay to take an attentive look or to fix your eyes on the fact that life stinks, that you're hurting, that you feel like you're underneath the weight of the world, that you're depressed. It's okay to, you don't have to avoid that just because you're a Christian and think, well, I'm not going to look at this part of my life because I shouldn't be struggling like this. No, look at the problem. Identify the pain, but rely on the promise. Rely on the promise. You see, sometimes, especially where grief is concerned, explanations are not enough. If someone could explain to you why your spouse, your child, your friend died the way they did, and here's why it happened, and here's the good that can come out of it, and this was the whole purpose. Well, it may be interesting to hear that, but you know, sometimes the explanations don't do away with the pain. So as Christians, we don't stand on explanations. We stand on promises. Promises of God, because they do not change. They do not go away. And if God promised you something, it's going to happen. You know, some of His promises come with a step or two that we have to take. But if we know the promises, the Holy Spirit can help us take those steps, and the result, the end effect of the promises can be true for you. So identify the pain, but don't live in the pain. Live on the promises and the love and the grace of an Almighty God, because God will see you through. True faith does not ignore the pain, but it remains steadfastly focused on the promise. The promise, blessed are those that mourn, they shall be comforted. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I tell you this, that you might have peace. Jesus said, in this world you will experience trials and tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Promises like, we know that all things work for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose, doesn't mean that all things are good, but they work for good. Number two, last week, we tried to identify the problem. Here's what I mean. I'm not talking about identifying the fact that your loved one died. You know that. But identify, why is grief so overwhelming? Why is it such a enslaving emotion? And I began to take you through the scripture, but even a scripture aligned with a logical line of thinking that brought us to a conclusion. And at the end of that conclusion, I'm going to springboard into today's teaching. So let's hit that as quickly as we can. I told you last week, based on the fact that God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, that breath of life was in fact the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was the animating essence behind the creation of Adam. And God created Adam to live because the Spirit of life does not decay or ebb away or die. So Adam was not created to die, but something happened, didn't it? Adam took a left turn off the path of God's plan. God's plan that was allowing perfect communion and perfect God consciousness. God's plan that was allowing Adam to live in fullness and in freedom and victory. You see, Adam rebelled against God's perfect plan. And when he did, when he sinned, the Holy Spirit, that life-giving force, that Spirit of life, left Adam, and the sin nature became the governing entity over Adam's humanity. Can't teach on that right now, but I want to give you this verse in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Paul said, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because of this, just as sin entered into the world through one man, just like I just explained, and death through sin, so also death spread to all people because all sin. What does that verse say? Because of the presence of sin, death came into the world. God did not create Adam to die. He did not create Adam to experience death. But Adam left God's original intent and plan. When he did, sin came into the world. And with sin, death was introduced. So here's why. Let's identify the problem then. Why is death so overwhelming? Why is grief so overwhelming? Why is the grip of grief so powerful? We were never intended to experience grief. So why would God have built into us, at the beginning, the natural ability to cope with an emotion that we were never intended to experience? Let me say it a different way. If God never intended for you to die, if He never intended for you to experience the hurt of death, then would He have built into us the natural ability to find our way through grief on our own? The answer is no. It makes no logical sense that God would give us the ability to deal with grief if He never intended grief to be experienced. That's why this emotion, above all emotions in the human experience, is the hardest one for us to handle. In fact, most people never do. And we cannot naturally deal with or cope with death. So let's get on to today's teaching. Let me start by saying this. When we destroy God's original intent, He always has a plan B. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for grace. Thank you for love that extends past our failures. God's original intent, no death, no grief, none of that, no grip of grief. We ruined that. Adam ruined that. We've all sinned. Death is here. It's present. So, God has a plan B. Let me read a verse for you very quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and God, now watch this, of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Who comforts us in all our tribulation. God has a plan. God has a plan B that will help you and I deal with the result of us ruining God's original plan. You know, there's verses in the Bible that say things like, we are more than conquerors. That say things like, I came that you might have life and life more abundant. How many of you dealing with grief right now, maybe you have been for some time, would be honest with yourself and God and say, I don't feel like I'm conquering anything. I'm feeling like I'm being conquered. I don't feel like I have abundant life. Life and life more abundant? No. I feel like the weight of the world is on me because I suffer under grief. Well, if God said those things, then obviously He intended us to live in those things. So He's got a plan. Doesn't He have a plan? I want to begin introducing the plan today. Let's start identifying the plan. And the way I want to do that today is by first identifying what the plan is not. Okay, let's get a couple of things off the table. If you'll hang with me, sometimes it's easier to see what it is when we can see what it ain't. And that's not good grammar, but I think you understand what I'm talking about. So, two main things I want to point out. Number one, the plan of God for dealing with the grip of grief. The plan is not found in worldly man. The plan for dealing with grief, for finding relief from the grief, for finding the grip of grief begin to loosen over our life does not come from the hand of worldly man. Here's what that means. Dr. Phil can't help you find relief from your grief. Why? Now, I said that in front of other groups before in the past, multiple times. And I always get a chuckle from the crowd. And then I go on to explain why I say that. The reason is because Dr. Phil can't even help himself in the grip of grief. You see, psychology is good for what psychology is good for. Psychology is the study of the mind. And it is something we ought to go after and study after and try to understand to the best of our ability. But psychology is only good to a point. When it comes to the place where psychologists and psychiatrists feel like they have the ability to help us with heart issues and mind issues that are a result of our naturally born problem, a sin nature, then psychology falls woefully short, because the psychologist and Dr. Phil cannot fix the dark and sin problem of their own heart. So how can they, with the best of their abilities, help you with your heart problem? You follow what I'm saying? There's no five-step process to deal with stuff that we don't have the natural ability to deal with. We can't fix a sin issue. I don't care what kind of group therapy session you're involved in. Helpless people in greater number only amount to greater number of helplessness. See, this is man's attempt to apply an answer that he himself does not have. And if person A cannot fix their own grief problem, and person B cannot fix their own grief problem, then the logical statement is this: person A cannot fix person B's problem. If we could fix it ourselves by human means, then the truth is we don't need a Savior, and we don't need God's help. Galatians 2:21 is one of the more powerful verses in the Bible. It says, if righteousness could come through the law, then Christ died in vain. Now let me give some meat to that. If righteousness, meaning what? If the ability to make ourselves good enough could come through the law, what does that mean? The law is our ability to do things, to perform things, to present things, to find answers, and to apply those answers on our own. If being good enough could come through our ability to do it ourselves, then there was no need for Christ Jesus to come and live a perfect life and be tortured until he died on a Roman cross. Okay? What's the point of the Savior if we could fix it ourselves? That verse says that Christ would have died in vain, would have died a pointless death, if we could fix ourselves by human devised means. We don't need a Savior. So worldly man and worldly man's schemes and plans and psychology and psychiatry can't fix your grief problem. Number two, the plan is not from religious man either. And that may come as a shock to you. Some eyebrows may have just gone up. Let me explain my point here. Religious man may be a Christian. Religious man may just be religious. There's plenty of religious Christians that are saved, but they don't live spiritual lives. They just live religious lives. There's a whole lot of people that you can see on your television standing behind pulpits in huge churches with mega millions flowing into the church and flowing out with great TV shows and New York Times bestseller books. But the modern day church is so transfixed by the popular fads of today that what we really get is a whole lot of religion. What is that? Man's attempt to reach up to God. Man's attempt to be righteous using religious means, not using worldly means like psychiatry and you know, 12-step programs. But I'm talking about religious people trying to use religious speeches and religious plans to satisfy the itching ears of people. Because you see, unless religious man is giving you the unadulterated, unbothered truth of God, then it's a lie. You see, when Jesus said, "I am the truth," that is an exclusive statement. Here's what that means. It means I am the truth, and anything else apart from what I am telling you is a lie. Everything else is a lie, even if it's coming from a good man that mingles scripture verses within his speech. If it is not God's plan, then it is a lie, and it doesn't fix you. It just satisfies your itching ears and makes you think you're doing something good because you're performing religious push-ups. But religious push-ups, truth seeker, they don't help you either. Again, it's religious. It's religion. It's man's attempt to make himself good enough by not using worldly means, but this time using religious means. What am I talking about? Just because you increase your Bible study to try to make yourself look better before God doesn't mean that spiritual things are going to start happening for you. Atheists read and know the Bible inside and out. Just because they read it more and more doesn't make them a better Christian. They're still an atheist. Satan has a PhD in Bible education. He's still bound for hell. Putting a stopwatch in your prayer closet so you can get 5 more minutes in every day of this week doesn't mean you're closer to God and receiving greater gifts from God. There are religious sects out there in the world that pray continuously. It doesn't mean they're speaking to God and being heard by Him. So just because you pray more, attempting to convince God to do something for you, doesn't mean that you're going to gain anything. That's a religious thing. Extreme fasting, 21 days of fasting to back God into a corner and force Him to do something for us, doesn't mean you're going to gain true spiritual ground. Now, some of you are saying, "David, are you saying don't read the Bible and don't pray and don't fast?" I'm not saying that. I'm trying to show you that the motivation for why you do it makes all the difference. And if you're relying on you doing more religious stuff to get closer to God, you're out of luck. All it's going to do is make you more religious. Again, we can't fix ourselves. If righteousness could come by the law, then Christ died in vain. Okay, so that's what the plan is not. Let me say it again. If worldly man can't help you with your grief because they can't help themselves, if religious man can't help you with your grief because they're still just trying to use their own means to help themselves, then this problem can't be fixed by natural means. Because if worldly man can't do it and religious man can't do it, well, that basically cancels out natural ways to handle this, doesn't it? Therefore, God's plan must be a supernatural plan. Can't be a natural plan, because like I said earlier, if God did not put anything within us to allow us to naturally deal with death, then what makes you think mankind can self-devise a plan to do something they naturally don't have the ability to do? I'm just talking in logical terms here. You see, here's what I believe. The only way to find release from the grip of grief is to allow God to deal with it. What are you saying, David? Let me put it to you in the words of one of my favorite songs. Give up Let Jesus take over. Oh, give up. Let Jesus take over. Oh, give up. And let Jesus take over and he'll make a way for you. You say, David, well, I go to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm in prayer. I thought I was trying to let Jesus do this, but evidently what I'm doing is not working. So you've got to give me some more explanation. Well, I don't have time to go into it today, but next week I'm going to give you specific instruction on how this plan of God comes about and how we give up our natural attempts to solve this problem and allow the plan of God, the supernatural plan of God. Supernatural means it's not natural, guys. It's not of this world. How do we allow the supernatural plan to go to work in your life and in my life? You see, that's what we're going to talk about next week. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a teaser here. We're going to talk about identifying the paraclete. That's step four. We've identified the problem. We've begun to identify the plan, specifically what the plan is not. Next week, we're going to start talking about the plan in specifics, what it is, and we're going to do that by identifying the paraclete. So it's important that you come back next week. Listen to this show. Listen to last week's show again if you need to. Get your heart and mind ready, because next week I want to show you that the paraclete is the answer for dealing with the grip of grief. For dealing with the grip of grief. I love you. Jesus loves you. You come back next week as we begin to dig into the plan of God. And until then, for goodness sake, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.